Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Teresa Hyatt and Scott Morgan, who are co-founders and partners of Morgan Hyatt. You might remember Teresa both from working with me in the Division of Corporation Finance at the SEC, but she also was an assistant editor for the site back in the early days. And now she's off on an exciting new venture with Scott, where they're running this firm to help lawyers communicate. So the first question for you all is, what types of communication training do you think that most corporate lawyers need?
Hey, Brock. We have found in our experience that corporate lawyers in particular need help with public speaking. So presentations, and not just the panels, which, by the way, your advice on your blog a few weeks ago on public speaking bullet points was excellent. So that's one thing that we help with. But another area that is becoming even more important for lawyers, somewhat surprisingly to a lot of people in the field, is media training, which is speaking on camera.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's funny that sort of training that us lawyers never get is probably among the most important. I definitely think that you're feeling a need here. So how is training for talking to the media different than other types of communication training?
You know, that might fall into my area, Brock. And by the way, I'm a big fan of your blog. Thank you. And I think the main difference, I come from a television background. That's one of the reasons Teresa and I started the company, is that the environments are different. There's just so much going on. There's always cameras and lights, and there's stuff in your face all the time. But I think the hardest part for lawyers in particular about media is two things. One, it has to be modular, in the sense that you don't necessarily get the questions in the logical stream that you may be used to. So you have to kind of think of your points as being like floating balloons that you grab onto one at a time, as opposed to a linear fashion. And the other is to make sure that, particularly with media of all kinds, whether it's print or radio or television, that you're talking in imagery, as opposed to have I constructed the perfectly formulated sentence. And that is also what lawyers are used to. But when it comes to media, we got to be thinking pictures, pictures. Do people get it? Did they get an image? Did they get a sense of that? Not did I say everything right and make sure I didn't make any mistakes.
So by imagery, do you mean storytelling in a sense? Or
That's one way to do it. That's right. Sometimes it's making sure that your data points are salient and you're not trying to compare and contrast too many numbers and too much data. Another way is to make sure that it can be a past example of when something went well, or it can be an example when something didn't go well. But in that, it's often using specific examples that help prove a more conceptual point.
And how
that makes it very firm.
How would you compare that? I often hear the term sound bites, which I think of as being just short, pithy comments. Does that sort of capture it too? Or?
It does. To me, I never try to... I don't think Teresa or I would ever say, you know, go for the soundbite, because then again, you're thinking about the sentence. You're thinking about that, what's going to be quoted. I tend to think about what's that image you want them to walk away with. What's that snapshot? Mm-hmm. What's the iPhoto version? I think it's easier to talk about a picture. And and you're right, it does convey the same sense as a soundbite, but it's so much easier to go, what's the image I want them to get? What's the picture I want them to get? And good litigators do this all the time.
It sounds like I could use some training.
it's on the house whenever you want.
So that leads me to my next question: is how can someone tell if they are someone that needs training?
Oh, I think I'm the perfect person to answer that because I was a classic example. As you know, Brock, I did do some panels back when I was both at the SEC and at Weil Gotshal, and I really enjoyed it. But there is the issue that I think a lot of corporate attorneys face. Most of us are pretty good, pretty adequate speakers to a degree, but we never get enough opportunities to really get polished and to really get comfortable. And from this, I take your point on your previous blog. You know, do something unusual. Don't be afraid to have a bit of fun up there. Well, it's hard to do that and hard to relax when you've crammed to get your material prepared and to get your get everything ready to sit on the panel and participate. So one thing I would suggest to corporate lawyers is, if they really want training, do they want to feel more comfortable? both in terms of sitting on a panel or even doing a presentation like a beauty contest, where sometimes that ability to connect more with the potential client can be key to landing the client. And it can also enhance your reputation within the firm if you're doing a firm training. You know, so comfort level is one thing. Other things I would recommend looking at are, and I was kind of guilty of this at times, do you avoid phone calls? Or do you want to plan ahead, like if somebody leaves a message, so you can take the message and plan ahead for the phone call? That's actually one good way to handle what they call phone phobia, which many younger attorneys are struggling with. Another signal would be, do you avoid face-to-face interactions and prefer using text and email? That can also be a problem on many levels for lawyers, because although text and email are very efficient and can be great ways to communicate, it could be a problem in two ways. One, you don't get the same contact that you do through either hearing someone's voice and their inflection or eye contact. And also, you're kind of, if you end up getting onto substantive matters, you're building a record, which you may or may not want in written form, or at least not that written form.
The only thing I would add to that is that these are also good interview skills when you're looking for jobs, which we're constantly doing now in this environment, and also just plain networking. These are all the same similar skill sets that come into play.
So how does the training work? Do you do it one-on-one or to a group at a law firm or both?
We kind of do it both in a sense. Our preference, my personal preference, is small groups. I think you learn so much from watching other people go through some kind of training, but you don't have to watch the whole firm go through it. Do you have a preference, Teresa?
We do both, and I think it depends upon what your goals are. You know, our clients' goals vary sometimes. We have done training in law firms. We've also done individual training. And with respect to individual training, those are people who have a specific presentation in mind with a specific audience.
Mm-hmm.
And they have certain goals that they want to obtain. When we train for a law firm, it's much broader, although at the same time, as Scott mentioned, that allows you to learn a lot more because you're watching the other participants.
And I imagine in-house lawyers can benefit from this too, because they're dealing with their business clients both internally but also for interviewing for jobs and that nature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
What would be, or maybe there's not a typical, but the process for training, is there a set period of time or number of meetings, or how does that work?
The ones that I've met on an individual basis, I think it's kind of a disservice to say, you know, we'll meet you once and give you some pointers and good luck to you. It makes it kind of an intervention that way, and we tend to prefer to be a support system. I like to think that recurring meetings are helpful. We have a client up in Rockville at the moment that is like once a month, and that just kind of lets you touch base, go out and try it in the real world, come back to us and say, here's what's working, here's what isn't. And it's a nice way to kind of feel like you have a communication coach during this process, not just a few pointers.
Hmm. Well, I appreciate your time. I'm sorry, Teresa.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just going to add one of the other reasons we like to go back and give the clients time to go out and experiment is because we're not just trying to teach them how to hold their body or how to make hand signals or gestures while they're speaking.
Right.
It's a way of organizing and a way of thinking about the material, and so that they are behaving like themselves and behaving naturally rather than looking postured. And that does take a little more time to kind of absorb and make part of your process when you prepare for presentations.
Well, I this is great information, and I really do think I could benefit from it, and hopefully people will check it out. I also like your website, and your pictures are great. Those are...
No, thank you.
You guys look like your anchors on a news...
We do the weather.
Right. So thanks very much, and have a good day.
Great pleasure. Thank you.